Sagt die Gemara, when Pinchas' brother Shmuel was saying Shiva, his brother Shmuel came to Menachem Oval. He noticed that Pinchas' nails were long. He asked him, why didn't you cut them? Pinchas said, if you were sitting Shiva, would you cut your nails? That caused somewhat of an ayin hara. And shortly afterwards, Shmuel was sitting Shiva. When Pinchas went to visit him, Shmuel threw his nails at him and said to him, you don't realize that there's power in someone's words that caused something like this to happen. Meaning by Pinchas saying his earlier statement, he had caused Shmuel to have to sit Shiva. Ve'echan said, we see by Avram that one's words often tell the future. When he was bringing Yitzchak to the Akedah, he said, we will return to you, meaning including Yitzchak. He was in a snap that Yitzchak would return with him as well. Initially, it was thought, Zach Gemara, that Shmuel allowed the cutting of fingernails, but not toenails. Rav Onan bar Tachlifa said, it was explained to me that Shmuel allowed both. Rav Chiya bar Ashi and Rav Rav said, but it's also to cut them with a scissor. Rav Shemen bar Abba saw Rabbi Yechanan bite off his nails in the base medrash on Chol HaMoed and threw them away. We can learn from this three things. Number one, that you're allowed to cut your nails in Chol HaMoed. Number two, biting nails is not usur as being totally disgusting. And number three, you're allowed to throw your nails into a public area. Rav Mar Bryce says that someone who buries his nails is a tzaddik, someone who burns them is a chassan, and when someone throws them out into the street is like a rasha, because a pregnant woman can step on them and chas shalom lose her baby. But it says there are no women in base medrash, therefore it wasn't a problem. And even if they're swept outside, they're no longer dangerous, because once they've been moved from the original place where they were thrown, they lose their danger. Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav and Mazutra, said that a pair of Rabbanon asked Rebbe whether an oval may cut his nails, and he answered that's mutter. Shmuel said that they also asked if an oval can cut his mustache, and he allowed that as well. Avital, the barber, said in the name of Rav, that one may cut the mustache from one under the lips to the other because it's disgusting to eat when the mustache gets too long. Rami said, that's only for the part of the mustache that blocks the entrance of the food. Nachum Yitzchak said, I consider that to be the entire mustache. Avital also said in the name of Rav, that Paroi from the days of Moshe was one amma tall, had a beard one amma long, and his aver was a bit more than an amma. Avital also said in the name of Rav, that Paroi from the days of Moshe was an amgushi. Either this means he would practice kishuv, or that means he would curse Hashem. Rav said, one who only has one shirt may wash in a Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yemi asks, such a person does not listen to the Mishnah as being allowed to wash his clothing. Rabbi Yaakov said, our Mishnah is listening to people who may wash their clothes even though they have more than one shirt. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yaakov bar Gurye bar Giyure, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, said, one may wash linen clothing on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi asks, our Mishnah doesn't list washing linen garments as permitted to be washed. Abaye said, our Mishnah is discussing which materials other than linen may be washed. Bar Hidayah said, I saw loads of linen garments being washed in Teri on Chol HaMoed. Abaye said, it's not a proof that it's allowed, because maybe it was done against the will of the Chachamim at that time. Zakh the Mishnah, the following may be written on Chol HaMoed: Kedushin documents, divorce documents, receipts, a will, a gift document, a prusbul, a document stating the evaluation of Bezdin of certain items, documents in which one accepts to support his stepdaughter, a chalitza or a miyun document, documents stating how Bezdin divided an estate, the ruling of Bezdin, and the ruling of the government. Zakh the Gemara, Shmuel said one may be Mekadosh a woman on Chol HaMoed to make sure that no one beats him to it. Zakh the Gemara, maybe we can say that the Mishnah is a proof, because it says that you're allowed to write condition documents in Chol HaMoed, so you see a lot of Mekadosh in Chol HaMoed. Where it says, the Mishnah may be referring to the written deal struck by the parents of the couple, but not the actual condition document. Maybe we can bring a proof from the Mishnah that says it's also to marry on Chol HaMoed. This would suggest that Kedushin would be Mutter, meaning the Suin's also, but Kedushin Lachar is Mutter. Where it says, maybe that the Mishnah means to say, surely women may not enter Kedushin on Chol HaMoed, since Kedushin alone is not even a mitzvah, the Suin is a mitzvah. The Mishnah says that even the Suin, which is a mitzvah, can't be done on Chol HaMoed, and certainly not Kedushin could be. Where it says, we have a clear proof from a Braisa, taught in Yishmuel's Yeshiva. The Braisa said that one may enter into Kedushin on Chol HaMoed, but one may not have a Su'udah in honor of that Kedushin on Chol HaMoed. Jack Lamar, Rabbi Yehuda, name of Shmuel, said that a person's spouse is predetermined and is announced every day in the form of a baskal. If so, why is Shmuel concerned that someone will come and steal away the woman, and that's why you have to, even on Chol HaMoed, you can go ahead and say Kedushin so no one beat him to it? But it says, because still, if another person davens to marry a particular woman, he may be able to marry a woman who was not predestined for him. Rav Nehmer Reuven ben Ishtribli said, we see from a pasuk in the Torah, in the Navi, and in the Ksuvim that a person's spouse is predetermined from Hashem. Rav, the name of Reuven ben Ishtribli, said, one is only suspected of having done an Avera if he had actually done the Avera. If he hasn't done it completely, he did it partially, the rest of it wouldn't be a rumor. Or he at least thought about doing it. Or at the very least, he had seen others do it and was happy about it. Rav Yaakov asked, the pasuk says that he even suspected Hashem of things with no basis of truth. We see that suspicion comes with no basis as well. Mar says that suspicion was done to make Hashem angry. It was not a true suspicion. Rav Shmuel Yitzchak said that every person suspected Moshe of wanting to sin with their wives. We see that there's suspicion even with no basis as well. Mar says that was done out of hatred, not out of real suspicion. In fact, Mar, we find that Rav Yossi and her papa extol the virtues of one who was suspected of something he hadn't done. We see that suspicion comes with no basis as well. Mar said they're referring to a rumor that subsides. Reuven was referring to a rumor that does not subside. Abai explained a rumor that lasts less than a day and a half is considered to have subsided. Even if it lasts a day and a half, it's only a problem if there was no let up in the rumor the entire time. Also, if there was some let up, But that was only due to fear. That's not considered to be a true let up in the rumor. Also, if after the let up the rumor came about again, it's not a baseless rumor. Finally, this is only true if the person has no enemies. However, if they has enemies, we assume all rumors were started and fed by them, by the enemies.